feel it burning deep in my soul. I know it's time for me to go.
Welcome to Publish or Perish FM, social selling in the age of content marketing. This is the podcast for innovative and scale-seeking sales leaders and CMOs. Here's your host, Jeff Leo Herman.
Hey, it's Jeff, and welcome to episode 24 of Publisher Perish FM. Today is Thursday, March 24th, 2016, and I am really thrilled to be here with you today. And, you know, before we get started, we have an awesome guest today. Can't wait to introduce her, but I have to say something about my wife's cooking, or specifically her baking. So last week I made the comment that her baking is terrible. What's terrible is the fact that she's an awesome baker, and it's very bad for me because I love cookies, as we discussed last week. So that's the bad part about it. She's a wonderful baker, and if anyone wants any of her cookies, I'm sure she'd be happy to share. But just have to make that clarification for those of you that criticized me for, squawking about my wife's baking. I'm very lucky. So anyway, you know, that's not the point. The point today is, what's the one thing we're going to talk about today to scale our relationships and scale revenue? And this is an awesome topic that we've hit on before, but we've never done it justice like we're going to do it justice today, because we are joined by an awesome Salesforce expert consultant named Tara Hall. Say hello, Tara.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm fantastic, fantastic. And I'm sure you can appreciate my commentary around cooking. It's not a good thing to do, to critique your spouse's skills in the kitchen, right?
It's a risk.
Right.
You run a little bit of a risk.
Right. That's right. So that being said, you know, the goal today is we're here to talk about how to track social selling using Salesforce.
So my favorite thing, Salesforce. Yay!
I know. My favorite thing is social selling. Your favorite thing is Salesforce. And this should be a fantastic conversation.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. No, this is good. And actually, Tara, just list off your number of certifications for everybody, because it's amazing how long you've been doing this and the degree of certifications you have.
Well, there are only two official certifications. I probably qualify for more, but for anyone who has tried to get a Salesforce certification, it's kind of a scary process. And so I test and I qualify, like with the practice test, and then I go, okay, but I don't really want to do it yet. So officially I hold an admin cert and a Sales Cloud consultant certification with Salesforce. But I have done so much more than that, from platform development to business analysis to you name it in Salesforce. I've done it. I've worked a little bit in the Service Cloud. So I'm very fortunate to have a pretty broad understanding of the platform. And I am just starting to learn about Apex Code, which is what happens when you get out of the click capabilities in Salesforce and need to actually write code to get it to do stuff. So that's where I'm sitting right now.
Wow. Well, we're extremely lucky and fortunate to have you as a team member here at Fathom. So thrilled that you're here, thrilled that we work together all the time. And, you know, we could talk about coding, but maybe everyone would, no offense, but nod off a little bit.
Right. Yeah, this is not the kind of thing that most people want to listen to on a podcast.
Right.
I do, because I'm weird in that regard. However,
well, I think that's a qualification too, right? No. So anyway, let's really dig into social selling, and especially tracking the effectiveness of social selling in Salesforce. And social selling is phenomenal. It's a fantastic way to scale your relationships and scale your revenue and really bring more context to the conversations we're having. But in many cases, there are certain limitations that have been introduced with speed and measuring effectiveness. And that's due to a number of reasons, right? And we're going to really focus on two reasons that there are some implications to really tracking the impact and effectiveness of social selling programs. So the first one is this more of a general, what I'll call a legacy issue. And In prospecting organizations, so many prospecting organizations that have inside salespeople with aggressive growth goals have adopted what's been called, you know, the predictable revenue model, and that's the Aaron Ross model. And I'm not going to completely explain it, but it's effectively using a predictable method of calls and emails and cadences to drive the prospecting effort forward. And it's very, I have respect for it because it's very analytical and numerically based. And there are entire team infrastructures built all around it, and even dashboards built all around it. So this model of prediction around just volume of activity is baked into dashboards, and that's how a lot of managers manage the team, because you know it's effectively based upon activity. You can really get into predicting the success of open opportunities and then close one deal. So that being said, you know, many of us have moved away from that volumetric model to focus really on meaningful, value-driven conversations with ideal clients. Because once again, the context matters, the relationship matters, and being a superficial salesperson just cranking on a number, the volume game, you know, that's fading. So that's a recognition more of the industry, but specifically from a nuts and bolts standpoint, the beauty, of course, of this, you know, predictable revenue model is the degree of tracking you can have and the accountability you can have amongst the team. And so one gap that we've had, and this is where, Tara, I'll ask for your input here, is the connectivity. So assuming we move out of a volumetric prospecting call and email model into a social selling model, and social selling, the primary tool we all leverage, of course, is LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's a great tool. We also leverage Twitter, and other social media platforms are becoming really critical. But there's a gap. There's currently a gap, an intentional gap, where it's not as easy to move data in and out of LinkedIn and LinkedIn Sales Navigator specifically. So, Tara, do you have some perspective to share on kind of the history of LinkedIn and their relationship with Salesforce and those kind of limitations that have been introduced over time?
Yeah, so it's interesting because they just phased out LinkedIn from the social contact part of Salesforce a couple of releases ago. So any of you who are familiar with Salesforce, you know that there is a regular release cycle. There are three updates to the platform every year, and they come out fairly regularly. So this past winter, so winter 16, they phased out the LinkedIn piece. And honestly, it was okay if you were able to connect a contact record or a lead record with a LinkedIn profile. You'd get a cool profile picture. It would keep their title up to date, but it was fairly limited. The nice part is that LinkedIn has an app on the Salesforce App Exchange that if you are already a Sales Navigator subscriber, you can have your administrator install this app into your Salesforce, and it actually gives you a section on your Salesforce where you can view the entire profile for your contact and any connections that you have in common. And it also gives you a link of other people to view. So if this contact is nice and warm and it's a really good fit and compatible with whatever your offering is, then you can find people like them right from within Salesforce without ever having to leave the tool.
Right. That's fantastic. So that's great. That's a module I use all the time. So within a contact record, especially when we get marketing qualified leads in, and I'm certainly not going to call them, but I certainly want to check them out and see, you know, they've downloaded something from our site. And to the extent I want to give them a quick eyeball to see if we have any, you know, shared connections or shared background, having that functionality of viewing that individual and matching the contact in Salesforce to the actual real person in LinkedIn Sales Navigator is cool. But to move at speed, and you know, once again, from a scalability standpoint, I wish there was a button in Sales Navigator that you can click and say, add to Salesforce. Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be really cool. And there are a handful of add-ins out there. I did some research prior to our conversation just to see what was available. And there were really some mixed reviews. And when I looked at the functionality, it was nothing that really wowed me. I will say this, that Salesforce has a fairly robust data import wizard. And it does have a connection to the LinkedIn Sales Navigator, but really it just walks you through step-by-step exporting those targeted contacts from your LinkedIn so that you could do a manual upload to Salesforce. It's a manual process on one hand. On the other hand, Salesforce walks you right through every step. There are video tutorials available on YouTube to find the process for doing that. And it makes it really simple and straightforward.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. And boy, you know, one of the, you know, so that functionality of we have ideal clients in mind. We often build lists of upwards of 100 to several hundred individuals that we want to make as contacts in the system. And the one key, and here's this word that keeps surfacing all the time, both in my personal and professional life, is source. And it's really important to have the source. So in many cases, we recommend adding social selling as a source. So either if it's a lead, it's a contact, account, an opportunity, if you are going to upload those as contacts records to Salesforce, make sure they're all coded with that source. And that's the very distinct field in Salesforce that says social selling. And you could even go more granular than that. But how hard is it to set up add sources beyond just say inbound, outbound prospecting? Is that a pretty straightforward thing to do?
Oh, for a Salesforce admin, this is a 2-second operation. This is something that most admins are used to doing day in and day out. It's as simple as adding a pick list value to the specific source field that you're tracking it in and going from there. Most of the time, it doesn't even require like extensive testing. It's just something that's like, I can't even express how simple it is to add that value. It's just a no-brainer.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. Yeah, I mean, tracking sources, because really what are we most concerned with as sales leaders and marketing leaders are sources and drivers of revenue. And we look, I have dashboards built up just simply around lead sources and really looking at inbound relative to outbound, relative to relationships and referrals from our great network partners. And to the extent that you have social selling as a source, and it's even important, it's come in handy, because we have current enterprise accounts where the account is long established, but we're really looking to build relationships deeper in the organization and have to drive a social selling effort to build those relationships from a respectful and relevant standpoint. I actually have contact records I code as a social selling source kind of within existing accounts, so I can really tease out the value of not only prospecting via social selling and making new relationships, but then deepening relationships with existing accounts by using social selling as a source. And that's once again, I refer to personal, right? So at home, the source button on the remote is something I'm hitting all the time, and I have to go over to my in-laws' house and constantly fix their TV because they forgot, the source button jumped off the cable box. So, yeah, that source button, I mean, I'm thrilled to hear it's such an easy fix, because it's really, really important. How do you break away from that volumetric model where all these dashboards are built? It's just adding a new source, and it seems pretty straightforward. So that's great to hear, Tara.
And it's, kind of going back to one of the topics you brought up at the beginning of the conversation around sort of that volumetric model and it being a numbers game. I really think that any sales manager would much prefer their people to be making calls and building relationships based on what's effective and right, not necessarily just that volume.
Right.
So being able to do something quick and in a hurry in your sales force to track your efforts and say, hey, yeah, I made 20% fewer calls than my neighbor over here. However, I had 20% better results from those calls because I was digging into what information was available in the social sphere and really understanding the needs of the people that I'm reaching out to versus just making a blind phone call somewhere. I think being able to prove that ROI makes all of the difference in the world and really sets you up to be able to use some of the more sophisticated tools in Salesforce for being able to track these kinds of lead sources.
Wow, that's you're so spot on. That's such an awesome point, Tara, because you're right. We're never this jump we have to make and kind of moving away from legacy models, you know, where there's literally compensation models based upon activity, to more of this value-driven, relationship-driven, relevant model, and where your conversion rates are significantly higher and you don't need as much volume. You're right, nailing down the ROI, and it's so easy to do. And we've seen many cases where the moment that source is starting to track, and over a quarter or two quarters, you literally see higher conversion rates and more opportunity development, and it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So that's such a great point, Tara. And to that end, I know something. You have a real specific passion for campaigns, and that's often the next level that we get to. So not only do we have, you know, contacts and accounts and opportunities open, but then how do you really nail down and embrace the campaign module? It's almost like the stepchild that no one talks about, but we get so much value out of it. What are your thoughts around really taking it to the next level by building campaigns in Salesforce, you know, with this perspective?
Also, I love being able to use campaigns to track these kinds of metrics. First of all, it makes the ROI calculation so easy because it's in your face and Salesforce does all the work. So you don't have to run that report on all of the opportunities with this particular lead source. Okay, here's my number versus my goal, and do a couple of hand calculations and send it over to your sales director. Now it's all right there in Salesforce, and you can actually see the numbers on your screen. Salesforce does the calculations for you, and it's a thing of beauty. And it uses this little known tool called campaign influence on opportunities. And it couldn't be easier. It's probably a part of what most sales reps who are working in Salesforce today are doing. When they add a contact to the contact role on an opportunity, and that particular contact is a member of a campaign and has been added within a certain time frame, let's say 45 days, then it automatically links that campaign to the opportunity as campaign influence, and then you can report on it.
Wow, that's cool. That's good. And the beauty of campaigns, start and end dates, and even budget allocation, or even applying, in many cases, you have a set of content assets, like a white paper and some messaging around that. The more we can contain those investments and basically capture those investments from a campaign standpoint, and it sounds like it's so easy to set up. Once again, it's all about ROI, and we become this hyper-effective organization, and at any point in time, we can give really great effective conversion rates and really look at what's working from a content, from a messaging, from a cadence standpoint even, and just do more. That's so, so cool.
Yeah, and then you can take it, you know, once you've proved the ROI and you can see it and it's right there in your face, then you can get even more sophisticated with a campaign hierarchy. So within your social selling, you have additional levels of contact that you may want to track. And so you have your parent campaign and then all of the things that roll up to it. There is no end to how detailed you can break into this and really understand the most effective sales actions that you're taking, and then focus on those actions and make everything that you're doing so much more productive.
Wow, that's cool. That's great. So the key takeaway here is literally, you know, if you're at your organization and trying to prove to your CFO the value of investing in LinkedIn Sales Navigator or the value of social selling in general, beyond the, you know, kind of, in my opinion, the obvious nature of taking a more relevant, context-based, value-based approach to building relationships, more about them and solving problems and being a teacher, and less about you know, driving a product-driven agenda. Just this notion of ROI and, you know, here you go. We all have probably really talented Salesforce admins and consultants at our organizations, just like Tara is a fantastic member of our organization. And all you got to do is walk over, maybe offer to buy them lunch and have a couple lead sources added, right?
Cookies, well-baked cookies are always a vulnerability.
Well, there you go. See, I guess I should get my wife. We're coming full circle here. My wife bakes too much, and it's a challenge for me. I've often shared my current status, my, you know, oh, geez, when I used to do the YouTube channel, I would literally write my weight on the whiteboard behind me just as a accountability factor for myself, but I stopped. I can't do it anymore. So, and I won't share today, so.
Anyway. Oh, you are a brave soul for doing something like that. Oh, my goodness.
It's a giant social experiment. So anyway, Tara, this has been awesome. I really appreciate your time. And I want everyone, all of your feedback, you know, to you, the members of the audience. What are you doing to track social selling effectiveness? We'd love to hear methods and that you're using to track social selling, be it in Salesforce or other CRMs, or even if you have a model you build in Excel and you're just simply have done something to add on to Sales Navigator. So we'd love to hear your feedback because we'll certainly share it in weeks to come and put it on the blog. And so to close out this week's episode, once again, I really appreciate everyone's time. If you like the content and you like what you hear, please go to iTunes and subscribe. And it'd be so wonderful if you'd leave a rating and review, because that's what helps podcasts like this get discovered and we can build out our community. So as always, I hope we all think like marketers and sell like animals. Thanks, Tara. Had a great time today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. This has been a blast.
Okay. Have a great week.
Now create my own state. I'm the one with the power to dictate my own fate. Persist to exist. I make a list of the egos of my life I must dismiss. Battle in the mind to know that I'm divine, that I'm the mastermind in this day-to-day grind.